step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 756. I'm Nicole Shiro, and today I am joined by our guest co-host, guest engineer, Mr. Tracy Schultz.
Hello!
And you're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3 Hornsby, and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home.
It's Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. And today we have on the show Texas Comedies with The Feud, a musical comedy. We also have Warren Records on with their Misfit Music Showcase Volume 2 and Queer Market over at the Ground Floor Theater. And of course, we're going to be having lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, Timbuktu, and beyond. Stick with us.
Maybe there's a chance for me to go back now that I have some direction. It should be nice to be back home where there's love.
Do you recognize that song? Did you know what that was?
No. It's like you wrote it down for me from The Wiz.
It is. That's Nichelle Lewis, the new Dorothy, in the totally redone, currently touring, soon to be on Broadway, then to go back touring The Wiz, which hasn't been on stage in 40 years. Can you believe that?
It seems too long.
I know. She did a live performance earlier this week on the TV, and that's what that's from. That's just her unplugged on the TV, that boob tube, that little thing, that box with the things. I know. It's fantastical. So, we're going to talk a little bit more about The Wiz here. But first and foremost, let's thank Kim Simpson for another fantastic afternoon of International Folk Bazaar.
Yeah.
Kim Simpson, I do love you and your show. For reals. Well, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Tracy. We have a very full house in here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you today. I'm sorry Lisa's not here, but for 2 weeks,
Is Lisa people, listening?
She does sometimes listen and sometimes does not. I'm not sure, but she was texting
me.
We
could talk about her then.
Yeah, Lisa, we're going to talk about you. She can't hear us anyway when we talk about her. We have a magic bubble, so you can tell me anything you want all the time. All the time. So I'm going to introduce all these disembodied voices in here so we can just give a shout out. And people are like, what's going on? There's a party in here. We have in the studio today, John Cecil.
Hello.
Hello, Matthew Von Blackstone.
This is the sound of my voice.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. Kelsey Kimball.
Howdy.
And Matt J. Garcia.
Hey, what's up?
And we're not done. We have two more. Jamie McKenzie.
Hello.
And Cass, is it Freitas? I should have asked you that.
De Freitas.
Hello.
Very nice.
If I say that wrong again, because I didn't write
then
tell me.
But that's all right.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. So we're going to talk a little bit theater, and you guys feel free to join in with us. I'm going to start with the bummer news, because it's just best to start with bummer news and go up from there. We had a passing. Norman Jewison passed 97. Full life. So this isn't the biggest of the bummers as it could be of a bummer. It's a blessing bummer. But you may know him as he is the man who directed those greats on the screen, Fiddler on the Roof, and Jesus Christ Superstar.
No way.
With the tanks as the specters, because you think of tanks in the middle of the rocks, you know, in the middle of Superstar. But yeah, I know. Oh, wow. He passed away. He was 97 years old, Oscar nominated director, originally from Toronto. He did a lot of specials for CBS television, like The Big Review, Showtime, The Barris Beat. Mm. He produced a lot of things called Your Hit Parade, The Andy Williams Show. You may know the Andy Williams Show.
Andy Williams.
Yeah, right? But it's those two shows that got him into directing specials for the likes of Harry Belafonte and Jackie Gleason and Danny Kaye. People that may go somewhere if they try hard enough, you know? Like, he also directed Judy Garland's comeback special in 1961. Yeah. And that went on to him becoming and creating and serving as executive producer and director for the Judy Garland Show. So so other things he's done on big screen, 40 Pounds of Trouble with Tony Curtis, which was the first motion picture ever filmed at Disneyland. Huh, I know that was kind of an interesting, that's a good Jeopardy question, folks. Okay. The Thrill of It All with Doris Day and James Gardner.
Of course.
Send Me No Flowers with Doris Day and Rock Hudson. And In the Heat of the Night with some Sidney Poitier, who got 7 Oscar noms, and it won 5. Besides The Fiddler and the others, he also did the musical version of Miracle on 34th Street and Here's Love. His accomplishments are just absolutely outstanding. He leaves a legacy indeed and for sure. And as Lisa would say if she was here, Mazel Tov, Mr. Norman Jewison. Thank you so much.
Wow.
I know, right? What a life. This is an older picture, see? he's obviously not
good.
A photo of him at 97 that they're giving us.
He looks great, yeah.
This paper that I'm giving our listeners, we have a link to it, so you can, if you're interested, you'll be able to see his pretty picture. Really interesting. Conductor Carl German has worked on The Lion King for 26 years.
Amazing. Wow. Oh, my God.
And he just retired. 26 years conducting. Well, it's interesting, too, is it's been on tour for over 20 years, and the flautist for the tour is still the same flautist 20 years later. Wow. It's like, she's fascinating to talk to. We did an interview with her, and I'm like, you are fascinating. But let's go back to Carl German, who's been conducting for 26 years. They did a really, really good interview and piece with him on Playbill. And I didn't pull any video because it's more of a watch him conduct. So me just playing The Circle of Life, even though I love it, doesn't really get that across to on radio. So we'll have a link to this video, but you can watch him. It's really cool to see him conducting the entire Circle of Life and in the pit and doing everything. But they gave him a great one. And he's like, and he also made the comment, no one ever really leaves The Lion King.
True.
Especially spiritually. And I was like,
Oh, yeah, I bet.
So he's done.
Amen.
He's played in Will Rogers' Folly, the sequel, The Best Little Whorehouse Goes Public, Beauty and the Beast, which is how he started getting in, playing and doing things with Disney. But he was going on. It's a really cool interview. It shows a lot of the technical aspect of what they see. And here's another from the board with lighting and sound and how they work in the conductor and not just the action on stage. It's a really cool video and a really cool interview. So I just wanted to share that and let people know. We'll link to it if they're interested, because conducting 26 years on a show that is still just as good every time you see it, after you saw it the first time. We were just having a whole conversation earlier this week about it. It was just recently in Austin, but I can tell you, if you're not going to be able to make it to New York and you want to see it in Texas, I know it will be in Houston this summer as part of the Broadway series, Broadway at the Hobby Center. So if you're interested in that, houston.broadway.com. That's where you can find info on The Lion King. But you can see it in New York, because right now, starring as one Simba is Austin's own Vincent Hooper. So if you want to go see it in New York, you could see an Austinite, folks. And that's what I'm saying. And there's my Lion King spiel. Okay, Michelle Lewis,
as playing Dorothy in this revival of The Wiz, that is one of the producers is Deborah Cox, who's also starring as Glinda. And Wayne Brady has not been on the tour, but he's going on the Broadway, and he'll be the wizard. But they announced that they were doing this pre-Broadway tour and then going to Broadway. And they now announce that they're going to ease on down the road and go back out on the road once it does its Broadway engagement. So the second leg of the tour has been revealed, and it starts in February 2025. So far, Dallas is the only one that's announced it, because so far in Texas, Dallas is the only Broadway folks to have announced their season, which is a really good season, by the way. Back to the Future, the musical's on it. Just saying. It's a good time. Mama's seen it, and she likes it. It's currently right now in San Francisco, and then it goes to L.A., and then it'll open on Broadway in April. So Nichelle Lewis is Dorothy, Deborah Cox is Glinda, Melody Betts, Aunt Em, and Evelyn. Kyle Lamar Freeman from Strange Loop is the Lion. Philip Johnson Richardson is the Tin Man. And Avery Wilson from The Voice is the Scarecrow. And then Wayne Brady is popping in and out of the little tour, selecting, like, testing it out before he goes in the Broadway run. But Alan Mingo Jr. from Kinky Boots is in the role when Wayne's not doing it. But this has all been reworked and redone with Amber Ruffin. Like I said, it hasn't toured in 40 years. That's just mind boggling to me. But yay for The Wiz. Okay, this is weird. We're going to play this little clip real quick.
Okay.
This is an ad. And it came up, and then I realized who was in it and what was going on. And it's long. I don't know if we'll play the whole thing. The video itself is wacky, but even just listening to... Let's just play a bit of it, Tracy. Okay. Let's just listen.
Bold.
Intense.
Steeped. In revolution.
So we can obviously tell they may have been influenced by Hamilton.
There's a little there.
But when you visually are looking at it, it's for a flavored boozy iced tea. First of all, it has opening credits. It has a name of the tea. Oh my gosh, it has a name. It's something, the tea musical. I don't know. It has an actual name. I think it's called the Smirnoff Ice Musical or Smash Tea Party, something like that. I don't know. Kathy Hilton's in it. That was like, whoa, wait, huh? What? I missed that the first time going around.
Why?
There's credits. It's like 2 minutes. It looks like they're on a beach, though. Like, I thought Captain Morgan was going to pop out, but that's not what was happening, because it was all about some... I was like, I'm so confused right now. But yet I was fascinated, and I watched it like 4 times, and I'm just like, what?
Is this like a Super Bowl commercial before the Super Bowl?
No, it has nothing to do. It's just a new campaign, because I had to Google it all. And then I found an article and an interview with Kathy Hilton and Rolling Stone. I'm like, this is how I have to. Like, I couldn't even find something in Adweek, which would have made more sense to find an article. They made me work for it, but I was like, obviously the marketing worked, because here I am doing it.
Here we are.
Do the digging,
She does poke fun of herself. It makes more sense after I watch it a while. I don't know. It's kind of hilarious, and it's a little funny, and I don't know if it's making me to go out to do things, but it's making us have a conversation. We will have a link to that where you can watch. It's like almost 2 minutes. I mean, it's a good little...
Is it like a Boston Tea Party reference?
And that's Yes. It's a Boston Tea Party, because they're all like, and they look like they're throwing the tea, but then again, they look like they're in Margaritaville. So I don't understand, like, what's happening. Maybe they got the Margaritaville set and they're like, we can use it. Again, Kathy Hilton's in it. So, like, I don't understand.
Maybe
but
Jimmy
it's,
Buffett and gave it to her in his will.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But
I'm happy she can get work. I'm happy to see her.
Because
work.
She needs it. She's hurting for the coin there, Tracy. She's really hurting that Kathy Hilton. I don't know. But, good for... It was funny. It was interesting.
I don't know.
Somebody will see the references like you did, and they'll be like, all right, I have to figure this out.
But it was it popped up on something. I was reading an article, and like it popped up in the back, and I was like, wait, what is going on? Which made me stop to watch and then rewind. And then I sent it to Lisa, and then I sent it to Amy, and then Lisa made it a clip for here. And I'm like, oh, I guess Lisa was like, play it. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Everybody's doing a musical now. So.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, this is exciting because you know I love me some Dolly Parton. And I'm not talking about my puppy. I'm talking about the lady herself. So she's got a new musical called Here You Come Again. It did a little bit of touring around the U.S. It's now touring in the U.K. And they announced a whole bunch of dates before it goes to the West End. It's Dolly Parton's songbook. It's not about Dolly Parton, but the character of Dolly Parton is in said musical. It's a very strange concept to me. So it's the story of a diehard fan whose fantasy version of the international icon Dolly Parton gets him through trying times. So she comes out and like lifts him up, and it's crazy. So it's got Jolene, 9 to 5, Islands in the Stream, I Will Always Love You, Here You Come Again, and many, many more. I would hope it has Here You Come Again, because that's the name of the freaking show. And I mean, that is a great album, though. That is one of Dolly's good albums. So it's kicking off in June, running through November, and then they'll give more dates on the West End and the casting and creative. And I don't know. I find that maybe interesting. I've been waiting for Dolly in the show, but yeah. I didn't realize the script and all what it's about. Like, Dolly in it, but not in it. This article that I clicked actually has like 3 or 4 interviews. So if you want to learn more from the lovely creative team who has fantastically British accents while you're listening, those are on there.
Maybe she just comes out as like the Joel Grey character from Cabaret, just kind of introduces each song. You know, but
she,
nice.
Like, she's got a huge part in it because, like, they talk and she raises. I don't know.
I would love to see Dolly do this. I would like to see. Like,
well, it's not going to be Dolly, unfortunately. But I don't know. I don't know. The Frozen, Disney's Frozen, is closing on the West End, and what they're doing is really cool. This is something they did here when they closed, and actually, they did it when they were out on the tour, but they open up a contest where local schools can get the rights to do the musical for free and have the first rights. And they did that. I love that. Disney's really good about doing that with their productions, and doing the educational aspects on the juniors and this and that. And so they just opened it up to the UK schools. It's closing in September, and now September 8th at London's Theatre's Royal Drury Lane. They're going to do the exact same thing they did and offer it to, I think, 2 different schools. So I think that's awesome sauce, and I can't wait to hear about who and what's doing it. Speaking of weird connections.
Oh.
This popped up in the news, and I was like, what? I had to read that again. So there's going to be a new movie with Kristen Chenoweth and Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
I mean, I'm okay with it, right? But like, okay. Again, not in my bingo card. Like, no. Putting like, So.
She can sing, Lindsay.
Oh yeah, no, it's just, well, I don't know if it's a musical though. I'm sure they'll try to figure out some sort of way to put a song in there. But it's a holiday film. It's called Our Little Secret. It's going to be on the Netflix, and Haley DiDomenici follows 2 resentful exes who end up spending Christmas together after discovering their current partners are actually siblings. Interesting. Here's more of the cast. Ian Harding, John Rudinsky, Chris Parnell, Tim Meadows, Dan Budiansky, Harry Cizerny, Katie Baker, Ash Santos, Jake Brennan, and Brian Unger. So, I mean, they're not like
that's some names.
Schleps doing, yeah. So,
I don't know. And the last thing we've seen Kristen in was the Schmigadoon series, which, bummer, did get canceled. That's, like, not cool.
That story is really sad, yeah. too, because they wrote all the songs and the episodes. It's, like, for the new season, and then the season got canceled.
In the words of Countess Luann de Lesseps from The Real Housewives of New York, be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool. And
true words have never been spoken. Really good advice.
One of the greatest sound bites ever in life. Yes, if anyone ever wants to go down it,
have you listened to her music before?
Oh yes,
Money Can't Buy You Class.
Money Can't Buy You
a classic.
Yeah, no. No, she's out doing her cabarets. She hasn't graced our area though, so we haven't had her. Yes, yeah, she's feeling Giovanni. no, I'm just going to go down that hole. But so I don't know. We'll have to find out. Maybe we'll get more of this movie or who's in it. I don't know. All right, this I'm excited about. Godspeed Musicals in Connecticut just revealed that they're going to do 3 new musicals in their Terrace Theater along with their previously announced main stage series. So they already have South Pacific, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, A Christmas Story, the musical, and a U.S. premiere of Maggie. But now they're adding A Complicated Woman with a book by Ian Field Stewart and music by Jonathan Brielle and lyrics by Salmond and Brielle. It's exploring the double life of noted summer stock impresario John Kennelly, who used to winter in Florida as Gene. Jeff Calhoun from Newsies is directing. Then up next is Ask for the Moon! Exclamation point. It is a new musical by Darko Trisnik. And he's not just directing it, he's actually writing this time. He is going to be the book writer and the lyricist writer. Fun fact, Lisa and I met Darko when we went to the alley to see Duncan Cheek and Darko's new musical Noir for the world premiere. Just want to say that. Lisa and I felt cool. We were really excited to meet Darko. We were both like, woohoo! So he's also directing doing it, but the music will be by Orrin Elder. So it's a comedy set aboard the Jewel of the Sea ocean liner and follows the wacky passengers on its manifest. It's almost anything goes like, but like future. I don't know. It'll be fun. It's Darko though, so it will not be like anything goes. So they are going to announce the third musical, which is funny. They say they announced 3 new shows and then they're like, but the third musical will be announced later.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. As a publicist, I'm a little confused by that messaging, but we're going to go with it. That's their jam. All right, I'm going to wrap these up quick because these are cool ones. Broadway Backwards, which is normally an annual benefit every year. It celebrates the LGBTQ+ community with songs and musical theater. They haven't done it because of, I don't know, the thing called COVID and a pandemic.
What?
It is back! I know, right? There was a pandemic, John. So it is back. It is happening. It is going to be at the New Amsterdam Theater, which is, because we've just talked about every Disney musical today, home of Disney's Aladdin, another musical we haven't mentioned in the Disney repertoire today. It's happening March 11th at 8 p.m. Broadway Cares is producing, and it benefits all of New York City's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community center. Guests will be announced at a later day. But the whole thing is that it started in 2006. Last year's edition wasn't even in person and still raised over $760,000. It's such an amazing organization. And it's, 17 editions, but it's back live in person. And that is so exciting if you're in New York and you can see that. We've been talking about Burlesque, the musical. Yeah, that movie. Yeah, they made it a musical. they announced the whole cast, but Jess Folly of The Voice and X Factor is going to play that role that Christina Aguilera played. She is going to also produce this. Christina Aguilera is going to be a producer. But the songs are by Aguilera, Sia, Dionne Warwick, Todrick Hall, and Folly. So there's additional material with Kate Weatherly. Todrick Hall, that's another. I have a problem with that. But that's just my personal opinion. And I should state, the opinions given on this show are not that of co-op, its staff, its board of directors, its programmers, or anyone here. They're simply just ours on this show. Right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Well said.
Sadly, there's a whole bunch of shows closing right now, and one of them that announced was How to Dance in Ohio, which is just a really cool special show. Lisa and I have talked about it a lot. They just released a new video of the song Momentum, and it's so special. And before we go to our guests, we're going to go out listening to a little bit of Momentum.
Okay.
From How to Dance in Ohio.
We're back. We were talking about off air about the sequel of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas,
which I did not know about. It's like, that was new to me.
You didn't know about it?
I didn't know about the sequel. I heard about the show.
You don't know about the Chicken Ranch in LaGrange?
As a young man in Texas,
it was Zindler from Houston. Marvin Zindler, Eyewitness News. He was the guy that busted them all. Like, you need to go down that rabbit hole, Tracy. It's fascinating.
That guy? Because he was a San Antonio legend.
We got Slime in the Ice Machine. That guy. That's Marvin Zindler. Yes.
He was a San Antonio legend. It's like up for years and years and years. It's like he's
an
interesting
guy. He wore like the blue blocker glasses with like the tinted and the big hair. I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about that and a whole bunch of Miss Mona Turner tricks in New York City during rehearsals. There's a lot, if you're very interested on any of that, to Google. It's fascinating. But let's talk to our guests here.
Hello.
I'm so excited. We have Texas Comedy's back. I'm going to reintroduce you all here.
Please.
John Cecil.
Hello there.
Back in action.
I'm back.
With an instrument. You always come with an instrument.
This is a guitar.
It's a guitar, huh? Yes, it is very pretty, by the way. I have to let listeners know, it is beautiful and white. It has some inlay, and is that a dove on there?
It's a dove.
And what flower is that? I don't know if my good glasses on. It almost looks like a poinsettia, kind of.
Could be that kind of flower that you said.
It looks like a combo, it looks like a red cherry blossom sakura meets a poinsettia. I don't know. It's a beautiful guitar. It is quite pretty. But next to you, you have there one Matthew Von Blackstone.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Hello. And Matt J. Garcia.
Hi, what's up?
Hello. Thank you for joining us here. And Kelsey Kimball.
Howdy. Thanks for having us.
Hello. So you always have great, fun, original musicals. You like the history and all that good stuff and the Texas stuff. And this one is called The Feud.
This is The Feud, the musical comedy, which is based on an actual feud that happened in Texas.
And please tell us about
the Sutton-Taylor feud, the bloodiest feud in all of Texas history.
Mm. Was it
in
really?
East Texas, yeah, it was. Went on for like 20, 25 years.
Whoa!
Started in Mason, but then went over to Cuero, that East Texas area, kind of near, not too far from here. And that's the backdrop for this show, because a woman named Delilah, who comes from Georgia to reclaim her husband, who has run off, good bred Doughboy Taylor, real guy. And she's looking for him. Meanwhile, Major Sapp here comes from the U.S. Army to pacify the region all by himself. Can he do it? Well, you have to come to the show to find out.
Ah, that's where the answer lies. Where do you find all these stories and go, this is the next story? I mean, we have really cool history. In general.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
But then in Texas, we have really interesting history on top of it. What makes you stop and go, okay, that's the one?
Well, there's got to be a lot of funny parts to it. And this show, this feud was quite strange. A lot of strange things happened. A lot of famous players involved, too.
Because when you think of, the bloodiest feud in Texas,
funny is not normally the word I'd put behind it, but
funny,
with John Cecil's name attached, I would.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of combat, which means stage combat. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong there?
How is the stage combat? Are you enjoying it?
It's slap happy.
It's going great. Yeah. We've also got some new props. So we did a version of this show several years ago, but then we took out all the bad parts and put in lots of new good parts. And that includes a wagon and a train. Yeah.
You have a
built
train?
For the show. We have a train.
On stage?
We have a train on stage.
Now,
many of the parts.
How many people are in your cast?
Oh, lots of them. I think like 7.
Well, that is a good size for you.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then 3 people in the band, because of course it's live music. Mm-hmm. So it's total 10 people, I think.
That's pretty fantastical. All right, Kelsey, tell me a little bit about what you've been doing, what you're doing on this. I mean, we heard slightly about your character. But.
Yes, Delilah. She is just a Georgia peach, I tell you. And she's coming on down to Texas. She's got to find her wayward husband, and she's found herself in a bit of a predicament. And then she finds out he's wrapped up with this Taylor gang, and finds herself in the middle of that.
Well, because she is a Taylor now.
She's a Taylor,
you're,
too.
You're one of the Taylors. Mm-hmm.
Matt, tell us a little bit about you here, exploring on your own.
Well, I play Sap, and like he said, he comes down from Baltimore to pacify the region in Texas, and he's a bit of an optimist. He's a bit naive. I kind of think about, have you ever seen Parks and Rec? You know the show Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Kind of like Chris Traeger-y comes down to like kind of settle things, and... it's a good time. Yeah, it's really funny.
That's awesome. And Matthew?
I play Sheriff William E. Sutton. And I don't like these Taylors one bit.
They're a bunch of hooligans rolling
That's
into your
right.
town.
They're rats. They're scurrilous animals that I got to root out.
And John, are you in the show this time? Or are you just playing guitar? Are you just directing? What's your?
I'm the director, and I play guitar in the musical. And I might do one little bit in the show. I might do the come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Oh, wow.
But we'll see.
Might have a cameo.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I got to talk to the director about that.
You let me know how that conversation goes.
Okay.
So, because you do have this beautiful instrument with you, this means we get a slight little teaser in performance, don't we?
You do. You get a big teaser.
All right. Okay. You want to set this up for us? Does it need a setup? Does it self-explanatory?
Well, there's everything to understand here, which Major Sapp has come down, and this is just page 7. So already we're on our second song. So this is packed with music.
All right.
And he wants to explain what he's here to do. Go ahead.
Oh, we're starting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I was explaining something. Okay, gotcha. You've illustrated my point. That's why your partners in law enforcement, the U.S. Army, have sent me here to pose a simple question. Can we be friends? Why can't we be friends? All your prejudices overcome. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Let's all come together, everyone.
I know that you think it's simplistic.
Whoa.
We think that you're over-optimistic.
Whoa.
You'll mock me and you will ridicule. You think I'm a fool. Why can't we be buds? Get unstuck, you stick in the muds. Even if we don't see eye to eye. Why can't we be chums? Give a little and take what comes. Even if you'd rather see them die.
You really think that it would be so easy? There is not a chance, no, there's no hope. Your sentiments are really rather cheesy. You seem like a dope.
I used to think that people couldn't be friends. They were either born friends or they were fake friends or they couldn't make friends. But now you people, I want you to reach out. Touch the person sitting next to you. But ask their permission first, okay? Why can we be? Why can't we be? Why can't we be friends?
That was awesome sauce.
Very
Tracy
cool.
and I were bouncing, and our other guests, Jamie and Cassie, were behind us, and we were all like, yeah!
Original.
Okay, that's a lot of fun.
That's an original song. Yeah, and all the songs are original songs for Texas comedies and for the Feud, the musical comedy.
Because wow. You are cool and you roll like that.
We're
I
all
love
cool.
that about. I love that. I love everything you do. So, how long is the runtime on this show?
Oh, this is an hour and 10 minutes long.
No intermission.
No intermission needed.
Oh, that's a good fun time. And what would the age range be for folks?
Well, we welcome all ages, although there's lots of innuendo.
That's
let
what
me
I was saying.
You
think like PG-12, PG-13?
No, you could be any age. The jokes that you don't get won't bother you.
Won't bother you. Oh, that's that fantastically. Like the Mean Girls written that the young ones get their jokes and the older ones get their jokes. I'm up in the older ones, just so you know.
Now, there is violence. I warn you, because it is a feud. Okay. So.
And it is the bloodiest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a blood budget?
There's gunplay, and there is an attempted assassination with, should I tell them?
No, no spoilers.
Okay, I
no
won't.
No spoilers.
All right, well, we'll leave that.
There's also a birth, a live birth.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot going on in that 90 minutes here.
That's a lot to schedule on set.
That's in the curtain call.
That's a lot going on in this 90 minutes. Well,
and induce the drugs now.
Okay. Oh, man. Timing, yeah.
Right? That is. Well, we're bum out of time now. That was we're wrapping it up near the end. But what were you going to say?
Should we tell them where they can go?
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell them, but you tell them too, and then I'm going to say it again right afterwards.
Well,
we're
going to
do it
just
twice.
Want,
we're
if,
just that
if
cool.
If anybody wants more information or
where
more,
is
more
that?
About the feud, I would go to texascomedies.com/ feud.
And where are you playing this wonderful piece?
Oh, the Doherty Arts Center from February 1st to February 10th.
That's fantastical. Thank you so much. Do you know what you're doing next after this?
After this, we're going to be touring back on the road. We're going to go to Humble with our Bonnie and Clyde show.
Oh, yeah. That's so. Another good one. I know. You do good stuff. John Cecil, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That was John Cecil, Matthew Von Blackstone, Kelsey Kimball, Matt J. Garcia with Texas Comedies on The Feud, a musical comedy, playing February 1st through February 10th at the Doherty Arts Center. For more information, you may visit texascomedies.com. And because you're a really good marketer, you have a /feud that takes directly to that. I love that. Those things get me very, very excited.
Puts you right in there.
Yeah. So I chose, it's so funny, when I was thinking of feud, I chose one of the Wait For Me's, the reprise one of the very end one from Hadestown, because for some reason it made me think of that. So we're just going to listen to a hair of that, have the underrunning. We're going to come back here with our next guest local and keep going.
The meanest dog you'll ever meet, he ain't the hound dog in the street. He bears some teeth and tears some skin. But brother, that's the worst of him.
I listen to Hadestown every day.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. But, right?
I that's love some good Hadestown.
Stuff. It was just that, well, I don't know why it was of all of them. It was the one with Patrick at the beginning. Mm. I don't know. I was a fan of it. But, all right, we're going to do some quick local real quick so we can get in talking with Jamie and Cass and Warren Records. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. We have a giveaway alert. If you're interested, there is one John Cameron Mitchell, Mr. Hedwig, and Amber Martina. They're doing this new show, Cassette Roulette, and they're on tour right now. It's at the Long Center, February 24th, and Lisa and I have a pair of tickets to give away. So if you would like to have those tickets, you may either go to our Facebook page, Offstage On Air, and like a post and say, I want them, I want them. Or you can email Lisa at offstageonair.com and say, I want them, I want them. And we will reach out to you and let you know if you have tickets to go see John Cameron Mitchell and Amber Martina for Cassette Roulette, February 24th at the Long Center. For more information, thelongcenter.org. All right, I'm going to go quickly through what is happening local so we can get to buckets. Right now, Frontera Fest is happening, running through the 17th.
Yeah.
We also have the Diviners at Austin Repertory Theater, running now through the 28th. Million Dollar Quartet at Tex Arts. It is running now through the 18th of February. Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid at Zach Theater just opened this week, running through March 3rd. Filigree Theater, who we had on as guest last week with Photograph 51, opens this weekend, runs through the 4th of February. Spitfire Grill with Austin Playhouse, they'll be on in 2 weeks. They are opening this weekend, running through the 18th of February. Misfit Music Showcase, who we're about to talk about in a moment, is playing at Ground Floor Theater. And that's also associated and part of a fundraiser for Always a Boy, so we're going to hear all about that in a second. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, that is opening in a week. That's opening at Zach Theater. The Feud with Texas Comedies, we just had them on. That opens February 1st, runs through the 10th. We have Broadway in Austin coming up with Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. that is running February 6th through 11th. Peter and the Starcatcher at St. Ed's at the oh my God, why can't I say it? Because I got the northern, you know, the northern in my head. Mary Moody Northern Theater. There we go. Boom! That's going to be running the 8th through the 18th of February. I'm hoping we're getting them on. Amazing. I do know we have Bob on next week, so the Incredible Bob. So I think maybe we're going to talk about that with the Vortex Rep, the 9th through the 11th, the Twilight of the Golds with City Theater, the 9th through the 25th of February, and last but not least, the great Always a Boy at Ground Floor Theater running the 15th through the 2nd. And here is today quickly in theater history.
Today in theater history.
Stuff happened.
It's a thing.
Buster Brown. Remember Buster Brown? It wasn't just the shoe. He was an original comic strip. Well, they made a musical out of him. With in 1905, The Kid and His Dog. Buster
Kid
Brown.
His dog. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. The musical opened in 1905, folks.
Wow.
Today.
Mm-hmm. Pre-Charlie Brown.
Also, who was born today in 1776? E.T.A. Hoffman. His stories are the basis of what we know as the Nutcracker. Right? It's one of those. That's another good Jeopardy question.
Recent, relatively recent, I would think.
1776.
Yeah.
Noel Coward, love me some Noel Coward. Design for Living had its U.S. premiere at the Ethel Barrymore Theater in 1933. 2000 was the revival of Eugene O'Neill's A Moon for the Misbegotten with Cherry Jones and Gabriel Byrne. Interesting, right? 2006 was Cheetah doing some Bye Bye Birdie with Dick Van Dyke.
Ooh.
For her show, Cheetah Rivera, A Dancer's Life. We had Lee Schreiber, Scarlett Johansson, and the Broadway revival of Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge. That was in 2019. And then the True West, the last True West that was done was Ethan Hawke and Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2019. I love that show.
I do too.
Oh,
Sam Shepard.
Yeah. I saw that show a whole bunch of times with Daniel Craig. James Bond. That was good. And oh my God, I can't think of the other guy's name right now.
That would have been very cool.
Let's not worry about it because I'd like to talk to our guests. So, and that other dude who's really big and I'll think of it later. OMG. Shame on me for not. We're going to listen to just a quick hair, Beetlejuice.
Sure.
And Say My Name.
You could use a buddy. Don't you
Finer points can wait.
Say my name, say my name. That's a really fun song. She really teases him about saying the Beetlejuice. And she's like, I'm not falling victim. He's like, one more time. We were just talking. It's a fun little show with lots of illusion and tricks and all the happiness you get from the movie, you get from the musical.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, it just focuses a little more on Lydia and Beetlejuice's relationship than really homeboys in the run in the house kind of thing, but you know.
So more based off of Beetlejuice the cartoon. It's like
you still have the Mastersons in there, but it's more about Beetlejuice and Lydia than it is about
interesting
the people in the home.
All
as
right.
It should be, if you ask me. But that's not why we're here. We're here because I'm really excited about this. When Lisa guys said you guys were on and everything that you're doing, we have Jamie McKenzie and Cass. Okay, the Freitas.
Beautiful.
Woo!
You did the R rolling and everything. Gorgeous.
Cool.
It's
the
Gomez Miramontes side of my family that's
perfect.
Trying, coming
it.
Out
comes
right
in clutch every once in a while.
It comes in handy. So you guys are with Warren Records.
Yes.
Which is a really cool, I think you need to tell us a little bit about Warren Records.
Absolutely.
And what you are and what you do. And then we could talk about the showcase. And then we could talk about the showcase and how it's related with Ground Floor at Always a Boy. And OMG, I'm losing my voice as the show goes on.
Oh, no.
So sorry I sound so froggy.
Don't worry. Okay. We talk a lot, so.
Yeah, tell us about.
We talk a lot about this. We love this.
Well, talk to us more. Tell us about Warren Records.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, so Warren Records is my brainchild. This is Jamie. Back in June, July, I realized I had this incredible community of women who were artists, musicians, poets, and we didn't have enough places that we could perform and get that really special tuned-in audience. We also were struggling with doing things all on our own. A lot of the musicians I know struggle to get music on streaming platforms. They struggle to get high quality content to send to booking agents, managers, use for social media. So the original idea was doing showcases and recording them live with an audio engineer. So we did our first iteration of that in September, and all of the artists that participated in that showcase walked away with high quality video and audio content of their performance.
So
and
cool.
We released a compilation album on all of the streaming platforms free of charge for the artists. It was actually a paid performance gig for them. So quickly removed that barrier for everyone involved.
So you made it accessible for them. Yes. And they didn't only get the experience and the content, but they got even more in the relationships and that's the community. Right. And that's the
right. Exactly.
The, you know, not the vision, because they had the vision to get there, mm-hmm. but they were in front of other people. I cannot
and
think
the validation of like, your dream is real. This is important. And your art matters, and we want it in our faces and in our ears. So we also do that through community events, our open mic at Nomadic Outpost every Thursday. We have an art and accountability event coming up where people can just work on things together.
Like parallel.
So we're just trying to identify things that hold people back from pursuing their dream. If they're artists, if they don't feel like they're real artists, if they don't have the funds to pursue the goals that they want to accomplish, we're trying to remove those barriers and elevate artists in Austin so that they stay in this town and we preserve and advocate for the incredible arts community that we already have.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. so cool. And I'm just going to put this out here and we'll say it again later on. But if you're already like, what? I'm fascinated. If you're wanting to find more information, it's warrenrecordsatx.com.
Yes.
And a lot of this is all on here because I did. I went down. Your website is so prettily put together.
Thank
did
you.
One of you put that together?
Yeah.
That was all you?
Tech person in a past life, yes.
I was like, Jamie, I didn't know you did tech also. But yeah, no, it's really put together. And it does. It has everything very clearly written with what's happening and has this beautiful art and parallel piece and the open mic. And but one of the things you're doing is this Misfit Musician Showcase, and apparently it's volume 2, I learned.
Yes.
And it has a queer market, and it's a one-day event from noon to 7 at the Ground Floor Theater. I know you partnered partnering and getting together with Ground Floor Theater in honor of their new work coming out, Always a Boy. Mm-hmm. And so you want to tell us a little bit about this day and this event? I mean, I have the whole run now because I found a lot of this really fascinating. I killed a tree to actually print it out. So
this is Cass. I am in charge of the events at Warren Records. I'm one of the founders as well. When Jamie came to me with this idea for this specific showcase, this is the one that we were talking about getting recorded. And the second she said that, I was like, well, that's happening. We're making that happen. So it's volume 2 because the first one, like she said, was in September.
So this is kind of what you were just talking about. This is
100. Oh, this is it.
Real. Like,
this is it.
This is so cool.
Exactly.
I love the synergy. Yes. All right.
And the whole idea of what we wanted to do ultimately was lift up artists within this town, not just musicians, because I come from an acting background. I've been actually on this show with you guys before in a different world, in a different place, because I'm an actor. So we wanted to like uplift different art communities and different pockets. And that's what's so cool about Austin, I think, in general. So mm-hmm. when we first designed the idea for the showcase, we were like, we wanted to partner with a vendor, like a third party vendor market, so that we could get all these like physical artists out there being able to sell their wares and their, you know, their arts and wares.
Makers or artists.
Absolutely.
The maker community and the art you can get. And I find it interesting. Once you go down that rabbit hole or the doors open for you to see all these artists, it's you don't want to get your art anywhere else because you have this 100%. One-on-one mm-hmm. conversation with the artist about the work, about the it just becomes 10 times more special.
I completely, I'm getting goosebumps. I completely agree with that. 100%. And so of course, the first time we did this, we had friends that were vendors and we were like, come out to our thing in this backyard, you know? Yeah. And then so now we were actually given government grant for this particular showcase. So we were able to up the scale of everything. We reached out to Ground Floor and I had known some of the people over there before, and we kind of thought, you know, this could be a really cool partnership, especially for...
I think it's really cool that you're doing this with the theater, and I honestly, and I'm not just saying this because it's Lisa on the show, and she's my friend, and I work with her. I think this is a really great fit.
Absolutely. It aligns between these so perfectly.
I think it's fantastic.
We completely agree. That is ultimately, we are always about the vision. We're always about the supporting other people and supporting our artists and removing barriers. And we find people naturally. We find people who are on the same kind of path, and that's who we want to partner with. And so that's where we're at now.
So you have some cool, like, you want to give us a little bit about who's there on that Saturday? Because I... quickly looking, it was not just musicians, there's poets.
Yes.
And Arbeger, so you want to tell us a little bit about everybody or who's there? Or...
Absolutely.
I mean, I have the paper again.
I was going to say, absolutely. I can talk about them.
Because I got...
at length.
I got really excited about some of this stuff on here, so.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have two live painters that are coming, and they're...
I believe one of you may be performing, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yeah.
I will
absolutely.
Be performing. Yes. I'm performing. We're opening the show... The Warren Women, which are all the co-founders, are opening the show with a song, and we're closing the show with a song, and I'm also playing a set in the beginning. So we like to open and close our showcases as
that's
a team.
Awesome.
Yes.
Sauce.
Just because, like, now you guys are all part of our community. Yeah. We just want to be like, welcome to the family.
Family affair. Yeah.
Exactly. Our poet is Rachel Boyle. She is one of our founders, actually, and she covers the writing side, and she's got her whole whole poetry performance. Then we have Sirene, who is this, oh my gosh, how do we describe Sirene?
What you have written here intrigued me. You have written here, this person brings together a perfect mixture of the flow and soul of new age jazz,
period,
plus the poetic angst and freedom of bedroom indie, plus the heart of Latin folk music, and a third harder to, oh my gosh, it cut off on me.
It was a third harder to describe thing that encapsulates what it's like to watch Sirene. Because Sirene...
Because I was like trying to click on it.
No, yeah, I wrote that, as you can tell.
No, I love it. Thank you.
Right,
what
Gonzalez.
Does that be intrigued?
As a performer, they are an actor as well. And just an incredible person to watch perform. Then we have Anthony Gomez, who specializes in like murder ballads and these very like folk. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What did he say that made me laugh? I loved what you wrote in there.
The songs
Wait
are
a minute.
So funny and so sweet.
Yeah. He's a teddy bear.
What is it? His music is a mixture of acoustic lounging. No. Wait, where's the whole, here it is. Anthony. Talented folk musician who specializes in murder ballads and bonfire celebration.
That's right.
I'm done with a murder ballad and a bonfire celebration.
Yeah, that's it. And you will feel at ease with him. He is like our teddy bear of our whole crew. Then Tommy Knees is like rock, wonderful, supportive individual. We love Tommy Knees. Avery Rytel, unbelievably talented. How do we describe Avery? That's a hard one, too.
Indie dream girl with, like, a secret screamer side.
Feminine rage.
What is it? Pop, feminine rage, forced indie, and electronic with acoustic.
That's
I love
it.
That.
That's her, yes. And then closing it out with a band with Soli FM and the Sewer Rats, which is this really beautiful band made up of these people that don't have the same kind of genres put together, very talented individuals, but that all have the same heart, and they're roommates now. Some of them are roommates together. And it's just kind of like a really good example of like what this community has kind of, we've all like done for each other. So like bringing all these different like-minded individuals together that are all cool and talented and fun and love each other.
And we're so very excited.
That's a whole mix.
Yeah.
We'll also have a visual art installation by Leon Leonley. Around baggage and how to release baggage and a visual representation of that. And again, the reason we can do this is in part by the grant from the Economic Development Department in Austin, the Nexus grant.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And so all of the donations for this can go directly to the theater.
That's fantastic.
Which is what we wanted. Oh, it was like another thing we really wanted to do.
Thanks for all of doing this. Well, we have to say goodbye here soon because we have to leave ourselves. It's not just you. We're not kicking you out. Co-op doesn't want us in here anymore. Robert Sims is like, beat it, Nicole.
Wrap it up.
I really thank you guys so much for coming on. I'm excited about this, Ben.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to having you on again. This was Jamie McKenzie and Cass Freitas. Mm-hmm. Yes. With Warren Records and the Misfit Music Showcase Volume 2 and Queer Market. It is benefiting and part of With Always a Boy. It's playing at Ground Floor Theater on the 28th from 12 to 7. For more information, you may visit Warren Records ATX. Tracy, thank you.
My pleasure.
We're going to bust out of here in a moment because we have coming up next, Lights, Camera, Austin with Mr. Robert Sims. Tracy and I will be back next week. We look at what's happening at Offstage and On the Air.
If I had one thing earlier, you mentioned it's like who was Daniel Craig's co-host like for Far West? It was Michael Gambon.
No. There was another one before that.
Oh, no.
We're going to go down this hole next week, Tracy. Right.
But a lot of people did that show.
We're going to go down this hole. We're going to go out with a song, Jolene. It is not from the new Dolly. It's not the one in the new Dolly musical. But when I was trying to find it, I found this. It's Olivia Newton-John and Dolly's duet from years ago, but it's a dance mic version. We've all been missing it. We'll see you next week.
Jolene.